Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Six Rings King Show on a new night, Monday night now, baby. We're really excited, actually, to have Eric McLean on the show here, college football analyst, co-host of the Huddle. Coach! Yes! All right!
First touchdown of the year.
Miami Hurricanes, yeah. You know the name already. It's Mercy. Ha ha. It's the Six Ring King Show. Can't forget the name though. Got Jazz, Blue, Vision, DJ, break the game code. Ain't no changing them. Ain't no breaking them. We're reporting live from the Hall Ride Stadium. Ball 14 for the orange and green. We see the Six Ring champs. It's more than a dream. This is life on the field. Beyond 100 yards of hurricane that's never still put a damage to your squad.
What's wrong with us? Seriously.
What's wrong with us? We're Miami Hurricanes fans.
Welcome to the Six Rings Cane Show, a show dedicated to Miami Hurricane sports, featuring the legendary Larry Bluestein, Jazz Santana, Vish, and Danny Gillette. Let's go, Canes.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Vish for the Six Rings Cane Show. Another midweek hit coming at you. Recording this Thursday night in case there's some late breaking news. Tuesday night in case there's some late breaking news. This will go out Wednesday morning. So if we hear some NORCHAD news overnight, which I don't anticipate, this could be stale real quick. Packed show today. Obviously, the focus is going to be basketball. It's got to be basketball, right? We've got the men and the women in the NCAA tournament. We'll run down that schedule real quick, and then we're going to talk a little baseball first because I got a guest coming on, Matty Ice from Orange Bowl Boys Network. He's all over the place. I'll let him plug his own stuff. He's joining us. He's going to talk some hoops. He's broken down Drake tape. He's got all the ins and outs. He can let us know what's happening this weekend. He's in my line of business, we call them subject matter experts. This man is a hoops subject matter expert. He's going to join me to deep dive into this Hurricanes big game on Friday against Drake. So we're going to put that off until he joins. We can talk some hoops there. So we'll start off a little bit with, kind of doing the least important thing first, which is we're going to talk a little baseball. So the Hurricanes baseball team, it's been a rocky start to the season, but a necessary series win last weekend. So the Canes had lost four or five games after dropping the midweek last week. And they're hosting NC State, and NC State had been undefeated at the time and won two out of three. Massive, massive series win. The Canes got a strong performance out of Carson Ligon on Friday as the rotation swapped. But probably the most impressive thing, and then I should say, went up 8-0, blew the 8-0 lead, and then came back and won 9-8 on Ian Farrow solo shot. So not exactly the best overall performance, but necessary win. They needed to get things righted the way that things were headed. Was, frankly, missed the postseason type of stuff is where they were headed. But they got the ship right. And then Saturday night, Carson, like, and I, again, went Friday night. Saturday night, Gabe Zeal moved from Friday, Saturday starter. What a performance. 8 innings, shutout ball. They did score, NC State did score one unearned run. Just lights out. Didn't really get threatened that much. Amazing performance. Got himself going in the right direction. You could see he was fired up. And just, I think, getting him out of that Friday pressure role, big, big, big deal. He pitched awesome. And it's going towards solidifying that rotation as the Canes rolled on Saturday, won the series. And then, you know, with an opportunity to really put a stake in the ground and sweep, they laid an egg. And that's, you know, it's unfortunate. It's not just that they lost, because, you know, that happens. It's that they didn't really show up, didn't put in a good performance. It was over early. Alejandro Rosario got rocked again. And, you know, the pitching is a problem. The pitching is a problem. Midweek, and, you know, there's maybe two starters here. Ligon and now Zeal looks like he's getting it going again. You know, that might be it. So they got to figure out what's going on with Rosario. Is Ben Chestnut the answer? Is Alejandro Torres the answer? Don't know. Other big news item out of the weekend, which we don't have any information on. I just checked again to see if anyone had gotten any information on why exactly Andrew Walters did not pitch in a save situation on Friday. Now, the rest of the weekend, Saturday was a blowout by the Canes. Sunday was a blowout by NC State. So there was not really a situation to run him out there. But certainly Friday, 9-8 game, bottom of the ninth. That is Walters' time. Instead, it was Alejandro Torres. Closed the game, and he did an awesome job. Shut him down, just like Lecarica finished off the deal on Saturday. But, you know, whether they would have brought him on with a large margin, non-safe situation, I don't know. But certainly, if he was right, he would have pitched, you would think, on Friday. Now, again, no news yet that I've seen on whether or not he's injured or not, but, or maybe they just wanted to rest his arm. I don't know. Certainly would be concerning if he can't go. It's already a thin bullpen. In fact, Alejandro Torres, who closed on Friday, is a candidate, you would think, to get into that starting rotation. Now, he did start the midweek last week, got hit pretty bad after a couple of scoreless innings, but overall, he's been a very strong pitcher. Maybe he moves into the rotation, but not if he has to close. So just a lot of turmoil in that pitching rotation right now as the Canes try to piece it together. But the good news is, you know, 2-1 in conference, got that started off the right way. You know, no one, again, we talked about this last week, no one's really going to, you know, kill them for losing 2 or 3 at UF. But if you start losing all these conference series, then you've got a problem. So by recovering, winning that series, you know, they kind of, I'd say, arrested the slide of a season that was going out of control very quickly. I mean, this was a, depending on which poll, you know, maybe a top 10 team angling for a national seed, and that could have gone very early. They're still in play for everything now. Got a midweek game coming up at FIU, so it's local, but it's not at Mark Light. And then this weekend, they host Virginia Tech, another really strong outfit. So they now have to win another tough series. And then after that, they got to go to Wake Forest as a top 5 team. So this schedule is really tough to start with. And it's the ACC. All the teams are good, right? I mean, some of the teams, they used to be weak. Wake Forest being a perfect example, are really strong now. So that's why it was so critical they won last week. Frankly, they got to take care of this midweek game, get this record turned around. They have a lot of losses early in the year. Now, granted, the Penn State loss is bad. Couple of midweek games. FAU is a really good team. There's no like real shame in losing that midweek. Jacksonville's a little bit worse, but you know, the midweeks can sometimes be the difference between hosting or not if you take care of that. So they definitely need to do better there. But you know, losing 2 or 3 to Florida is not the end of the world. They'll like that Penn State opener back, but again, overall, they're in decent shape. But you got to continue. Now you got to pile on series win upon series win. Maybe throw some sweeps in there. But Virginia Tech is, you know, it's going to be another tough weekend series, just like NC State was. The Canes have got to win. They got to take care of these home series. And if they can do that, then you know, then they can start talking about hosting regionals, hosting super regionals. I mean, they can win the series against Virginia Tech this weekend, go to Wake Forest. You know, there's a chance to do some damage there and really get a feather in their cap and maybe jump the ACC pecking order. There will almost certainly be regional and national seeds out of the ACC. So if the Canes can continue to play well now, continue to capture these ACC series, they have an excellent chance to be a regional host and national seed host. And frankly, that could have gone this weekend. So it's very early in the season, but you know, the fact that they're probably now, even though NC State was undefeated coming into that series, you know, if the committee was ranking teams, the Canes would probably be ahead of NC State now. And again, as they start giving out host sites and super regionals and national seeds, that matters. They say they don't look at conference, blah, blah. That's not true. There's a certain number of teams that'll host out of the ACC for sure. And the Canes higher up that pecking order give themselves a better chance to do that. So big, big win for Gino Damari's boys. Again, tomorrow night, or I guess tonight, because it's going out on Wednesday, they'll take on FIU at FIU 6:30. Not sure if there's TV coverage, but check out our guys on WVMM. Do an awesome job. They'll definitely have it covered. So, you know, if you want to keep up with that. So with that said, the preamble over, let me talk a little bit of hoops. I'm going to bring Maddie in here and really break this down. So just talking a little bit about where the Canes sit in terms of where they're playing, where their regional is. We will pull that up in a second. As the play-in games are currently going, kind of interesting, you know, how early that is now, but and no one really really pays much attention to it. So, you know, this will be a situation where there are some opponents unknown, and actually for the Canes women, they don't know one of the teams in their quadrant. Now we'll get to that in a second, because frankly the women are in a tough spot. But let's first check out this men's bracket a little bit, do a little breakdown here as I bring this in, and we can take a look and see where the Canes sit. Again, we're going to talk to Matt in a minute, and we'll go in depth on this region. But essentially, where the Canes are sitting is they're trying to play this game for me. I don't care who wins that. All right, so this is where the Canes are sitting, and you can kind of see their path through here. So they're right here. These are the games in Albany. I will be in Albany this weekend. I'll be there for Friday's game, hopefully through the weekend if the Canes win. So stay tuned for live coverage from there. But this is kind of what they call their pod, right? So these are the four teams that the Canes could potentially face off. There are other teams in Albany. It's actually Connecticut, Iona, TCU, and play-in game. But the Canes are not aligned to them. They're just in the same location. So this is the Canes pod. You know, they got to win a couple of games to get to the next week. You kind of look at, fan out beyond that. You got Houston and as the one seed over there. So if the Canes can get through this weekend, they're likely to see Houston. With that said, Iowa, very high-scoring team, can beat a lot of people, have beaten a lot of people. That's not an easy matchup. Auburn's an interesting one. Obviously, the Canes bounced them last year after Auburn was the two seed and was the best team in the ACC. These games are in Birmingham, which, you know, doesn't seem fair that Auburn's essentially playing at home, but that is what the committee chose to do. It's kind of crap, to be honest. And, you know, Houston as a one seed having to essentially play a road game isn't exactly fair. But anyway, this is that region. You'll notice that another team the Canes bounced out last year, Iowa State, is also on the bottom half of the region. If the Canes make it all the way to the regional final, they'll hit one of these teams. You know, Texas, the two seed, A&M, Xavier, some other options here. Iowa State, as I mentioned, those two games, if they get that far, Elite Eight Sweet 16 will be in Kansas City. And then the final will be, Final Four is in Houston this year. So this is kind of the path ahead for the Canes. Obviously, to get by Drake first. Again, we're going to go in depth with Maddie in a couple of minutes. And talk about Houston, but you know, just wanted to kind of put some context in play here for where the Canes are sitting and what their and kind of what their path ahead is. That game is at 7:25 on Friday night. Sunday game time, if they win, not set yet. They kind of wait for the Friday games to play out first, and they publish the Sunday game times. So more to come on that. But that's kind of the path ahead for the Canes at this juncture. So in terms of, you know, since we last spoke, other than last night's Six Rings Cane show, there was, you know, the injury to Norchad Omier. So far, just day-to-day is the company line on that. And I'd be pretty surprised if we hear anything you know, concrete about him prior to the actual to the actual game time decision, which I'm assuming he'll try to give it a go. But we'll get Matt's opinion on that as well. Which brings us seamlessly, maybe. Is this clickable? It is clickable. Oh, I wanted the bracket. Oof. Official bracket to the women. So the women's tournament, they did something weird this year. And I don't know if this is permanent or not, but they essentially, in terms of locations, rather than doing, you know, South, Midwest, East, like the, and West, like the men did, and what like the women used to do, they've now kind of done two locations for regional finals. So there's a Seattle and a Greensville location, and they just did Seattle 3, Seattle 4, Greensville 1, Greensville 2. So the Canes are in the Greensville 2 regional, which basically means if they get out of the first weekend, they'll go to Greenville. Now, with that said, this is a second year in a row they've gotten into that 8-9 game, which means the potential of playing at a number one seed in the second round. You can kind of see where the Canes sit here. They are playing Oklahoma State in Bloomington, Indiana. If they win on Monday, time to be determined, they will play Indiana at Indiana almost for sure. There's a play-in game here, but Indiana is not going to lose at home to Tennessee Tech or Monmouth. So, I mean, this is basically you can pen, not pencil, you can pen Indiana into the round of 32, and hopefully the Canes can beat Oklahoma State. I'll after we bring Matt on and you know, we talk to him a lot about the men, I will break down that women's matchup as well. I do think it's a good matchup for the Canes to potentially get to the second round, but then, you know, juggernaut from there. If they somehow get through that, you know, hallelujah, but not likely. But then they would again be in Greenville. And you kind of see the 4-5 team, Villanova, Washington State. These games are in Philly, so you think Villanova would go through. You can, if you look down towards the bottom, you have LSU, you have Utah, two really good teams, and a Michigan team that beat the Canes earlier this year also. In this corner, you got NC State, who the Canes lost to in Raleigh earlier this year. So there's some familiarity with some of these teams. But, yeah, this is one where you kind of – you know, if you get that first game and then you just take a swing at NC State, at Indiana, it's not necessarily a great matchup. And, you know, one of the problems with women's basketball, and I get they have to sell tickets and it's easier to do it on campus, but the fact that, like, you're looking at this and thinking, man, I'd rather the Canes are the 10 seed than the 9 seed, that's problematic. Now, given that, you know, we know that NC State's a good team. They beat the Canes. You'd rather play Oklahoma State, I guess. So in that sense, the first round matchup is easier, but you're almost maxed out at getting one win. So, but maybe the Canes will surprise us and, frankly, the entire college basketball world. Indiana's lost 3 games this year. First, they got to get past the Cowgirls of Oklahoma State. That game is Saturday, 2 p.m. from Bloomington. Interesting that Indiana put their game first with an 11:30 tip time. I know TV dictates a lot, but that is an early tip for the Hoosiers at home. And it does give them a little bit more rest for Monday's opponent. And I'm assuming they figure, even if people are late trickling in on Monday, on Saturday, it doesn't really matter. They're going to probably win comfortably. All right. That is the state of hoops affairs right now. Before we bring Matt on, let me tell you about our presenting sponsor of this show, our guys at Prize Picks. So PrizePicks.com, offer code FIVE. That is 5, the word 5, FIVE. Check them out. If you enter that offer code, they'll match your first deposit up to $100. The way you play is very simple. You pick 2 to 5 players, athletes. You bet on over under on their statistics. For example, Luka Doncic, one of my guys at Dallas, you know, is he going to score below or above a certain point total? Apparently, if I would take the under on one at this point, because he's out injured. But, and then if you hit that, you pay off, you got to do at least 2. And the more you add, the more money you could potentially make. So it's just like doing a normal parlay. If you've ever sports bet before, very similar to that. 2 to 5 players, you bet their stats, you hit them all, you win money. And again, use the offer code FIVE at checkout, and Prize Picks and Five Reasons Sports will match your offer up to, match your deposit up to $100. That is prizepicks.com, offer code FIVE, five. With that said, let's go ahead and get to Matt here and get an in-depth breakdown of the Canes and Drake.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It's my pleasure to welcome my guest to the show here. He goes by Matty Icy. Matt is, for those of you that don't know him, is one of the, I would say, experts on Miami hoops, covers, has it all covered. Also hosts several podcasts, writes for OBB Legend, does a Canes call-in show, did a big kind of hour-long deep dive on March Madness today as well for About the Fans. Definitely check that out. Matt, thanks for joining me. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the
Sixers. Yeah, I appreciate it. I forgot that I do all those things.
I know. You're all over the place. You're all over the place. I mean, I full disclosure, I learned some of your footprint today as I was kind of looking up all the stuff you're vaulted up. Like, all right, so 15 minutes for the intro, and because you're involved in so much stuff, man, you're spread wide. But I feel like hoops. Is it fair to say the basketball is kind of where your core passion is here?
Yeah, like obviously Canes Colin is like a big part of what I do, and then writing with the OBB Legend as well, but that's mainly the hoops. I you know, talk football, but that's more like from just a fan standpoint. I'm not like X's and O's. Basketball's always been my first love though, and I've always loved Canes hoops, so that's like my bread and butter, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not overselling him. Matt is one of our kind of one of the top people covering Canes hoops that really kind of gets below the surface level trivial stuff and kind of dives deep in the X's and O's. So we're going to be doing that as part of this show. I guess we'll start though with, you know, the I guess the most concerning news is Norchad Omir's injury. He sprained his ankle. We don't know how bad it is. He's officially day to day. What are your kind of feelings around his injury? One, do you think he'll play? Two, do you think he'll be effective? What are your thoughts there?
I mean, so much of Norchad's game is about his mobility on defense, and he provides such a spark defensively because of that. You know, his ability to rebound and everything, it's all, you know, because of that mobility and aggressiveness. Definitely concerned. I think it's a lot of uncertainty just because we don't know the severity and we're not going to know until tip off. You know, maybe warmups a little before. But if we're missing Norchad, you know, I'm concerned. And I mean, he's the heart and soul of our defense. He's probably the most important player on this team for multiple reasons. And I think it's kind of overlooked sometimes because he provides a lot on offense too. His mobility is a huge part of what gets, you know, these guards going. So it would be a big loss and it would make me even more concerned, you know, in this matchup, in this first round matchup.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that's happened with Norchad is as people watching this team, following this team, covering this team, we've gotten a little bit used to just how impactful he is across the board. Mm-hmm. And it almost doesn't pop as much anymore. I mean, there are times where he'll steal the ball in the backcourt, dribble all the way up, lead the fast break. And like, that's our center. Like that shouldn't happen, but now you're kind of used to it. Now that you know, he might not play, that all of a sudden, like, oh my God, we can't do this. We can't do that. We can't do that. In addition to being kind of the only like traditional big that's going to get minutes, and I don't think Favor R is going to really play a lot. You know, in addition to losing that size, just like he's so dynamic and the things he does are unique to him. And that's, it's not like you can just plug in the backup and see, maybe you can give it a go. No, you have to change almost everything you do if he's not playing. And it's kind of, I mean, I didn't really fathom this scenario. We kind of spent a lot of year worrying, okay, if he gets into foul trouble at a key game, because he does have issues with fouls, it's like, what are we going to do there? And then, you know, now the prospect of him not playing at all is certainly scary. But to your point, I think we'll know more basically at tip.
Yeah.
Is he the guy jumping center or not? Because they're not going to give anything away here.
Sorry, Canes fans. You're not going to get any sleep until until game time. And I mean, it's I can't speak on it enough. His mobility and aggressiveness. I mean, if you want to take, you know, just watching the, I forget the name of it, but like, you know, the bracketology show and they pan over to Miami and you see Norchad just sitting there, you know, no boot, no, you know, looks like he wasn't really wearing anything on that ankle. I think that's a good sign because if it was, you know, severe, like grade 2, grade 3 or whatever, he would definitely have something on that ankle. But yeah, I mean, we're just not going to know until tip off.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he doesn't at least try to give it a go. Yeah. So I think he'll, like to your point, he'll be out there for warmups. I'm almost 100% sure, just to like, all right, let's see what we got here. And then, you know, sometimes players warm up and don't actually play. So we won't really know until, you know, 7:25 on Friday. But I'm optimistic he'll at least give it a go. And then you have to transition to the discussion about efficacy. And is he actually 100%? Can he do all the things we've kind of gotten accustomed to him seeing him do?
Yeah. And if there's one guy that like would really come back from this and whatnot, it would be Norchad. Dude is a monster. I met him actually in person. I linked up with Jordan Miller after one of the games. I actually live in California, so I flew out to Miami for the FSU game, and then I went to one of their basketball games. And so I was introduced to him, and he just like crushed my hand. I was like, "Oh my god!" I was like, "Why aren't you playing defensive end?" He's a good guy. I really hope he's able to give it a go. He just brings like, I mean, just not even talking about what he brings, you know, specific like skill wise basketball, but like I feel like the team just like just really embraces like what he brings and plays with a certain style, if that makes sense, because of, you know, the way that he carries himself on the floor.
Yeah, no, definitely. And he brings that physicality, which kind of the rest of the team doesn't. I mean, they play hard, but they're not physical. And he's the physical. He's the hammer on the team. So I feel like our fans were nervous anyway after the FSU game. And, you know, there's been a lot of games this year where they won, but should have won by more. The lead slipped. And even some of the losses, you know, they ultimately lost a game with a big lead. So I feel like there was always going to be a little bit of nervousness with our fan base. But if you take Norchad's injury followed by, you know, a lot of people are picking Drake. The 5-12 matchup is historically one people pick a lot of upsets in because it's like an outlier Like the 12 seed wins more than the 11 seed. It's kind of a weird anomaly with the way the seeding works. And so a lot of people are picking Drake. A lot of people are doubting Miami. How are you feeling right now about this heading into this game, about the program and where the team is?
Well, and I think that, you know, a lot of times it's hard to follow every single team in the NCAA tournament, but I think that this is kind of a popular pick because you look at, you know, their last four games, how they performed. A lot of people said that they, you know, should have been a lower seed as well. They should have been a six or what have you. And then also too, like, you know, a lot of people reference these stats of like, you know, obviously we're ranked, I think, outside the top 100 in adjusted defensive efficiency. And that's a stat that people really look at when they're determining, you know, who's going to get upset and whatnot. The only thing I will say is, in regards to how we were performing of recent, Miami was on a really good run for a while. Obviously the FSU loss happened. We won't talk about that anymore, but Nigel Pack was out for that game. So we weren't 100%. We didn't have all of our guys. Obviously Norchad played 1 minute of the Duke game, and Miami was still able to keep it close, be competitive, even though, you know, they had Anthony Walker and, you know, true freshman AJ Casey out there trying to guard these, you know, five-star recruits, big men. And, you know, the other thing as well is defensive efficiency. I get Miami wasn't in the top 100. I get that we're, you know, defense isn't really our strong suit. You know, we're a really good offensive team. But if you look at last year, you know, we weren't the best team defensively. But if you look at performance in the tournament, I don't know if you remember this, Vishnu, but when last year I posted a statistic when we were in the Elite Eight, out of all the Elite Eight teams, we had the highest or the lowest defensive efficiency. So, you know, the best defensive efficiency in the tournament. That's what really, you know, got us going. We were, you know, forcing turnovers. We were, you know, contesting every shot. I was amazed because there was such a difference in terms of, you know, maybe someone gets by you, but then there was someone else that just came there. It was like a swarming defense, but then, you know, not really essentially leaving your man. It was impressive to see. And I think that, you know, we kind of did start to see that at the end of this season a bit. So to me, I still feel good about this team. If Norchad isn't playing, you know, obviously I'm concerned. I think that it'll be a close game, but with guard play and stuff, the guards that we have, I like Miami in this matchup still.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, so I kind of, I'm actually more optimistic, I feel, than the normal.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was in, and you'd kind of touched on this a little bit, that Duke performance, everyone's so high on Duke and like, wow, look how great this team is.
Final four, lost
the only big on the roster, really. Otherwise you're playing like a power forward or a small forward, you know, on a normal team as center. Still, I mean, that game was close right to the end. And if Duke is this like, wow, look at Duke, then playing without Norchad and giving them a game to the end. You mentioned, you know, the FSU game shouldn't have happened anyway, but without Nigel Pack, the last time the Canes lost a game when healthy was that game at Pitt.
Yeah. So, and that's it. Nigel Pack didn't even have a good game against Duke too. I mean, it was mainly Isaiah Wong and Jordan Miller. So, I mean,
but so to me, that's another kind of encouraging thing with this team, even in relation to last year's team. There's so many guys that step up and score and can win you games. Last year, it had to be McGusty, Wong, mm-hmm. and Charlie Moore, and Jordan Miller to a lesser extent than he is this year. He's really grown into like that frontline role. This year, you know, you have Wuga winning the pick game essentially by himself, hitting all those threes, right? Like that wasn't happening last year. Benjali Joseph has had a few moments defensively, especially. So I just feel like there's more weapons. And I think the other thing that happened in the tournament last year, again, knock on wood that it happens again this year, is it's just a weird team to play against. Scramble all over the place in defense, a lot of interchangeable parts. And I think that's where the turnovers came last year. It's just not a team. You're not used to playing against teams like that. And then all of a sudden you have to do it in a pressure situation. You tend to get loose with the ball. Because if you look at last year, that USC matchup, that was kind of a nightmare matchup for the Canes. All their guards were like 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". They had a legit big who's in the NBA now. Like there was just, this was a huge team on paper. Like they're going to overpower the Canes, and they didn't do it. And I think that's, you know, there's some encouraging signs there.
No, absolutely.
And so, yeah, I'm a little bit more on the optimistic side. But yeah, I could get the, you only as optimistic as I am, you only have to read like the 15th team being like most likely team to get upset Miami before you're like, all right, I'm a little nervous here. This is a little bit too much groupthink going on.
Yeah,
but let's see if you can give us a window into why people are, let's just say, high on Drake here. So I know you broke down a couple of their games, you've watched some of their film. Just why don't you give everyone listening and myself as well a little overview of Drake here?
Yeah, so Drake is definitely an interesting team. Their head coach, he's been there for a few years now. His son is actually, I think you posted this on Twitter actually, yeah, as well. His son is like the star player. Averaging like I think around 20 a game. Tucker DeVries, great three-point shooter, kind of a versatile guy on offense, a little bit limited I would say on defense. 6'8", plays the four, but what I think is interesting is they play like a three guard lineup and they're all under 6'3". The one thing I would say is I think that, you know, a few of them kind of play bigger than they are. In terms of physicality, I know one of them, Garrett Sturts, was a conference defensive player of the year, I believe. Very physical guy. You can see that not just in the way that they play defense, but the way that they like attack the rim. All three of those guys, even Tucker DeVries as well, can kind of attack the rim and create for themselves a little bit. But I think the one thing that I go to, because I know we're talking about Drake right now, the fact that I don't think Drake has really seen a team that does what they do, essentially. I mean, you have Nigel Pack, you have Isaiah Wong, you have Jordan Miller, you have all these guys that kind of create, you know, Wuga's really come into his own as well, averaging double digits in his last like 5-6 games. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, they do have more of a traditional big. He's like, I think he's 6'10", like 280. He's a big boy, pretty solid offensive rebounder. So that does, you know, concern me a little bit. He's not the most mobile guy, but definitely active on the offensive boards as well. So we got to body him up, box him out. The one thing I did notice defensively about them is they're very active with their hands. Like when the ball's like one pass away. And so, I mean, whenever that's the case, I mean, you got to be able to essentially, you know, read the defense, make those backdoor cuts, make, you know, any cut to the basket, dive to the basket as well. That's something Jordan Miller does really well, something he did last year more of especially. So I'd really look to that. I think that Jordan Miller and Tucker DeVries is going to be the matchup, though, in this game, because I'm pretty sure they're going to be going up against each other. I don't know if Tucker will guard Jordan Miller. We'll kind of see in that regard. I would think he would be the one. But he's a really great shooter. You have to have a hand up on him. He, even when you think it's contested, it's not contested. He will make a three in your face. But, I mean, I think that's going to be the interesting matchup. You know, Jordan Miller is only 6'7", but has a 7-foot wingspan. He's got that length and athleticism and ability to kind of stay with him. But Tucker, you know, is a strong dude. He's 6'8". I think he's like round 220, 230. So he has a little bit of weight on Jordan Miller. But when I'm looking at one matchup in the game, that's kind of the matchup that I'm looking at going back and forth. And then, I mean, obviously, too, like Isaiah Wong, you know, ACC player of the year. You know, what Isaiah Wong are we going to get? This game? Because he has had some inconsistent performances. But yeah, I think that's going to be the main thing.
I was actually, you kind of sort of answered one of my questions, because okay. I know from a height standpoint, you know, Jordan Miller's the matchup. I actually thought we might see Wuga on DeVries to start with, just because he's more used to playing on the wing and on the perimeter. I know he's their four, but
yeah,
Jordan Miller tends to guard bigs. yeah. That's a little bit of a different matchup for him. So I actually thought Wogo might start on him. You're thinking it'll be Jordan Miller?
I would say Jordan Miller, and I think it's because, I mean, I love Wuga. He's a really good defensive player. But I like the idea of him guarding one of those smaller guys, kind of locking him down and kind of showing them something that they haven't really seen, a 6'5 guy with length that, you know, you don't see that in that type of conference.
That's kind of another thing if you want to talk about this too. So you mentioned they haven't really seen a team that does what they do. That's something that jumped out at me. I looked at like the statistics and also kind of the way the teams are structured. Very similar. They're like the mid-major version of us. Play a lot of wings, a lot of guard play. Even their bigs aren't necessarily big. Like their power forward is DeVries, like you mentioned. So is this just, I mean, am I being overly optimistic to say we're just a better version of their team?
No, I mean, I think it's true. It's a lot. So like if we knew Norchad Omir was 100% healthy and we were going into this game, I honestly would put all my money on Miami, you know? It's just kind of a wild card of like, you know, what kind of Miami team is going to show up when, you know, a guy that's been labeled as like the heart and soul, you know, I don't know if you saw that video that Canes Hoops put out about all the guys talking about Norchad.
They jinxed him. What,
yeah, it, apparently. It's just, you know, what kind of team is going to show up when, you know, if he's not playing, if he is playing and he's kind of, you know, battered a bit. But yeah, no. And I mean, going back to what we were talking about in terms of like, you know, them not really seeing a team that's built similarly to them. I think that this is the game that Isaiah Wong is going to get a lot of open lanes to the basket. I think he's going to have a lot of open drives. I want to get that big man that they have on their team in a lot of pick and roll scenarios and stuff because he is limited in terms of his mobility. So I hope that, you know, Norchad is able to set those high ball screens, do those little handoffs that, you know, get shooters open. You know, Nigel Pack benefits off those a lot. If that's the case and we're able to do that, then I really like our chances in this game.
Yeah, and some of it's just, I mean, you know, in the second half of the year, absent a few games, Nigel Pack has been really good. You mentioned the Duke game wasn't one of his best performances, but he's been shooting at a high level and he's struggling at the beginning of the year a little bit. So, you know, if he's knocking down threes, that forced them to extend their defense essentially out to half court, which just opens the whole court up as well. So I think that's another kind of big thing is his shot going. I mean, if he's open, he generally makes it from like a normal three-pointer. We're talking about, is he able to pull up from the logo and just consistently knock it down, which he is pretty regularly now. That opens the whole court up.
Yeah, and you talked about it. Like, he was on a streak of, like, I can't remember which game it was after, where he shot, like, over, I want to say, like, over 53% from three and was shooting, like, a good quality volume from three. And then I think it was that injury that kind of happened, you know, being out for a little bit as a shooter, it can kind of, you know, mess with your confidence and stuff. But if he can get it going in the tournament, I mean, with Norchad, you know, able to move, you know, and whatnot, I really like Miami, especially because of what Nigel Pack can bring to this offense, because I think it just, I mean, Miami's offense is good, but it's at another level when Nigel Pack is able to shoot consistently on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a certain former Syracuse coach criticized Miami's use of NIL. I think one of the things that should be commended is how complimentary the play. They didn't just go and get the biggest name out there or the, you know, like Nigel Pack fits this system perfectly because he opens the floor up for Wong, for Wuga, for Jordan Miller, who are awesome in space.
Yeah.
You know, Norchad's a mobile big. So he also is not, because as much as like Miami missed, you know, Sam Bornberg was not a post player. He was floating at the 3-point line. That did leave the lane open for the guards to slash and drive. And Norchad's actually able to do both because he's so mobile. He doesn't just stand there and like bring the big and the help. He pulls the help defense out. So the way this roster was constructed just fit really well.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you got to give credit to Coach L because I mean, he knows what he's doing in the transfer market, you know, he knows the guys that he wants to build his team around. And it's interesting that you say that too, because I think there's a lot of people that had kind of written off Nigel Pack that maybe he wasn't, you know, right in this system because, you know, at Kansas State, he came off a lot of screens. It was more catch and shoot scenarios and whatnot. But I mean, you see it like he's able, I mean, I can't even remember like how many games where, you know, Nigel Pack has kind of created a little mid range for his for himself or whatever. He's been a huge part of, you know, Miami's success, and so is Norchad, obviously. So, but yeah, they've built a really good team that loves to play together too. You can tell, yeah. And that's a huge part of it, especially in basketball.
Yeah, and this is probably the homer in me. I just can't see these guys going out in one game. I just can't see it. I feel like they have too much. I mean, this is like so cliche. I feel like they have too much like force of will to do that, to just lose the first game. Like, I can't see it.
Yeah, and it's funny to me because I feel like, you know, like I get why people, you know, pick that 12-5 upset and whatnot. But to me, like the reasoning of like picking Drake, it's like, well, I mean, have you seen what Miami has done this year? Have you seen their offense? And then like, honestly, the emergence of Wuga too. Cause I mean, I think that he's kind of filled a void, not directly with scoring, but like, you know, Cam Augusti was one of our best rebounders as a guard. And I think that Wuga has helped in that regard. He's been a really good defender. I think Cam Augusti was, you know, a good defender, when he was at Miami as well. And he's gotten better. I mean, I've talked about it past 5-6 games. He's been putting up double digits. He's been more confident in his shooting ability. He's obviously had that mid-range shot, but you know, if he can consistently knock down that three, I mean, the driving lanes are going to be open.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about how Drake is not used to essentially seeing a bigger, more athletic version of themselves. I mean, our guards should be able to shoot over the top of a lot of this too, in addition to,
yeah.
You know, they do a lot of step backs and a lot of to create space. This should, in theory, be easier to do against Drake, yeah, than against some of the bigger players in the ACC as well.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to me to see what they do defensively with like Isaiah Wong and stuff. Because I mean, depending on who's guarding Wong, I'm guessing it's going to be what's his name, Garrett Sturts. Probably, yeah. He's 6'3". He's the bigger guard out of them. But I mean, Isaiah Wong's still 6'4". He's lengthy. I mean, Sturts isn't the most athletic guy. He knows how to play defense and stuff. But I mean, Isaiah Wong, you know, he loves getting to the basket, getting those little mid-range, you know, kind of fadeaways and different shots in that regard. And I think he's going to have a really good game because of this, you know.
Yeah, he's such a pain in the ass to guard because he scores from everywhere. He'll come off a screen and just hit a catch and shoot. He'll do a step back three. He'll drive and pull up for the mid-range. He'll get all the way to the rim the next time. Like, he's just a pain to guard.
Yeah, especially if he's hitting his threes, then you cannot guard him at all.
He's another one that I think we kind of take for granted because he's been here so long, and he's, yeah, ACC Player of the Year because everyone else has to, you know, all the coaches and the media from the opposing teams and all, they have to deal with him. Where we're like, Wong's been here forever. We kind of know what he's about, so you kind of get used to it. And then the opposing coach that's to try and set the defense is like, how do I cover this guy? And that's how he wins ACC Player of the Year.
I know we're just talking about Drake versus Miami, but in the crazy thing is Isaiah Wong could come back another year if he wanted to.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's going to do that, but I would obviously love it. I think we all would, but I think he's probably gone to he's going to get paid next year. All right, so you know, we kind of danced around it. I think we both hinted it. I think you certainly hinted at which direction you're leaning. But do you want to give us a prediction for this game on Friday?
Score prediction?
However you want to do it, man. The floor is yours. Okay. You can explain it. You can go in depth on it. Whatever you want to do before you say Miami, okay, was going to win. You know,
I'm going with the assumption that Norchad Omir is playing, and he's, you know, maybe not 100%, but he's, you know, relatively active and whatnot. I think that Jordan Miller is going to have a really good game in terms of like influencing the game in different aspects. Like, he's going to have he's been having these games where, you know, he's like most assists on the team, you know, steals. He's going to do whatever it takes to win, right? You know, I'm the Jordan Miller homer, right? The, yeah, president and CEO of the Jordan Miller fan club.
I do now.
You do now. I think that, you know, just that matchup, I think he's going to do a good job on Tucker DeVries. I think he's going to, you know, Tucker's going to get his own. He's a good offensive player. You know, I think Isaiah Wong has a really good game, though, to be honest. I think Nigel Pack, you know, hits some threes, hopefully, you know, carries over to the next game, next round, because they're going to need it. And so I'm going to take Miami here. I'm going to say 81-75. I think it's a little close, but yeah, I'm taking Miami.
I mean, that could mean anything with this team. It could mean they're up by 15 with 2 minutes left.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely.
It's been several of those. All right, Matt. Well, before I let you go, why don't you plug away? I kind of touched on some of the stuff you're in, but why don't you go ahead and plug all of your Canes presence?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. Yeah, so check me out on the OBB Legend. I'm going to have some March Madness stuff coming out. I'll have an article out either tonight or tomorrow morning. It just depends when I can really get to work on it. So I'd appreciate if you guys can check that out. Canes Calling, we haven't really done that for a little bit, but you know, we'd always appreciate the support. I think that football season kind of left us, with a bad taste in our mouth.
That was so painful. just like playing that bad. Anyway, let's not talk about that. Sweet 16. Let's make it.
Yeah. Sweet 16. Yeah. you can check me out there, about the fans as well. I do a show with Jordan Nelson, every Wednesday night. It's more of like an NBA thing. So if you're into that, you can check that out as well at About the Buckets. But yeah, and I appreciate you having me on, man. Been a listener of yours for a while here. So it's really cool to, be on here with you.
No, it was, thank you for joining. Before you go, so this does also go out as a podcast. Make sure you follow Matt on Twitter. If you're watching the stream, you can see his handle there, but let me read this out. So it's at Inside Out, except the E is a three. So it's INSID3OUT. Definitely follow him. He'll be covering the game this weekend, give you a lot of insight as it's unfolding, and then hopefully covering a game on Sunday as well. Matt, again, thanks for joining me, and definitely if there's a Kansas City in the Canes future, we'll definitely sync up next week and we'll start talking about the Canes Sweet 16 opponent.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Have a good night.
All right, so that was a chat I had with Matt about the Canes basketball program. Again, that game Friday at 7:25. I did not make a pick. I think we all know where my loyalties lie there, and what I do, setting aside the homerism, do think the Canes are the better team and will win this game. And I think this group of kids, it just can't end in the first round like that. I don't see it happening. So that's my quick prediction. I'm not going to give you a score like Matt did, but I do think the Canes will win that game. I do want to finish up here with a little talk about the women's team. They are also in the tournament. Again, we shouldn't gloss over this, although it's becoming normal and we're all really happy about it. Both teams in the tournament, very few schools do that on a consistent basis. Second year in a row for these Canes programs. Big, big deal. Big W for really the whole athletics program there. The women are heading to Bloomington. They're opening with Oklahoma State. They're the 9 seed. Oklahoma State is the 8. So in theory, Oklahoma State should be favored. Now, a couple of things going in the Canes' favor here. One is Oklahoma State's not a big team. And the Canes do have size, especially Kayla Oetker is really starting to come on as a legit center. They still got Lola Pendande and they're starting. So they've got two bigs there. And it looks like Lazaria Spearman might play. She got injured against Syracuse. It looked really bad at the time. Frankly, I'm doing what Matt did with Norchad, but she was jumping up and down celebrating the selection to Bloomington, to the NCAA tournament. So I'm assuming she'll play. That's three bigs that are kind of bigger than everyone in Oklahoma State's rotation. So I like the Canes to kind of get the ball inside, really overpower Oklahoma State there. And Oklahoma State's not been playing well. They did win one game in the Big 12 tournament, which was their first game in a while that they'd won. And it was by a point. They're not necessarily playing good basketball right now. I think the Canes are getting them at the right time. I like the leadership. I like the inside-outside game the Canes will bring to the table. The Canes get in trouble when they get stifled offensively, and because they do get stuck. This has happened multiple times. We had single-digit quarters where, like, the other team's just, you know, overpowering them inside and taking away the perimeter game. And there's not a lot of mid-range there. Destiny Harden and Jasmine Roberts a little bit, but they tend to, you know, play through the post or shoot threes. And if those aren't going, they tend to struggle. And that's when they get into trouble. You know, we saw Duke, we saw Virginia Tech in the ACC tournament. When the offense gets stuck, it gets really, really stuck. That said, I do think, in contrast to those teams, you know, in this case, the Canes will have a lot more size. And I think that'll help them hopefully not have those long periods of not scoring because they're able to run the ball through the post. So I like this matchup for the Lady Canes. I think they will beat Oklahoma State. I think they'll get that done. And then, you know, then it's at Indiana. And Indiana's lost three games this year. One was a buzzer beater against Iowa, who's a two seed. And, you know, they're a monster of a team. I would never give up all hope because the Canes have players like Destiny Harden is a great player. Lola Pandani is a great player. Haley Cavender can stretch the defense. Jasmine Roberts has gotten really, really good. Kayla Odeker is finally like adjusted to the size of the college game and is finally able to do damage on the post. There's just a lot to like about this team. There's depth coming off the bench with Carla and with Hannah Cavender. I haven't even talked about Jaleah Williams, Lashay Dwyer. There's just a lot of depth. So you can never really count the Canes out just because there's so many players on the team that could potentially swing it. And that's how they were able to – they beat Virginia Tech this year. Virginia Tech, one of their four losses was to Miami. So, like, this is not – you know, this is a team that's proven capable of beating big schools. It's just, you know, to pick them to do so is probably a bridge too far. But this, I think they'll give them a game. This is a team of high character that plays really hard. And, you know, I wouldn't write them off entirely in that game. I think they could potentially do something really special there just because They're a very deep team that can come at you in waves. And if the three-point shot is falling, if Jasmine Roberts is getting into the mid-range, if Lola's is able to score in the post, all of a sudden, you know, there's another level they've gone to a few times this year that they have not been able to do consistently. If that level shows up, that should be a close game. Now, the other hand, we've seen when that level doesn't show up against the elite competitions, against Duke, against Virginia Tech in the ACC tournament, you know, as much as they fought, it wasn't there. So that will be a tough one if they're going to beat Virginia Tech. I mean, if they're going to beat Indiana, I mean, that would be something else. And frankly, you know, Oklahoma State's the higher seed. So that's a tough one as well. So, you know, hopefully they get through that first game and they take a punch at Indiana. I think that's all we can ask for here. I do like them in that first game. I don't think they'll really get past Indiana, but I think they'll do us proud either way. This is again, it's a veteran team. It's a high character team. And I think we're going to, you know, see a lot of, whether they come out of there headed to Greenville or heading back home, I think this is a program that'll come out of there with their heads held high. I think they'll play really well. I think they'll play well against Oklahoma State, and then we'll, you know, hopefully get a shot at Indiana and see what happens there. But shout out to Coach Meyer and all the players. You know, they've really, this program is elevating. And I think it's going to continue to do so regardless of the result here. But that game is Saturday, 2 p.m. from Bloomington. It is the later game in Bloomington, so if the first game goes into multiple overtimes or something, there would be a bit of a delay there. All right. With that said, I'm going to wrap up here just by kind of addressing the teams here. So both teams are headed, you know, to the colder parts of the country. You know, they're taking South Florida with them. And I think something really unique about this school, about this community is the University of Miami is so central to all of it. So, you know, as these teams travel, you know, they're taking us with them. And I'm talking from Palm Beach to Key West. Like this is South Florida's school and South Florida's team. And, you know, everyone will be rooting them on. I'll be there. I know people all over the country will be tuning in to support these Canes. And I just would say, like, regardless of what happened, you know, this weekend, both these programs have done us really proud. You know, they represent the school well. They play hard. You know, they win a lot. Like, this is, again, getting into the NCAA tournament consecutive years for both programs is a big deal. So, you know, I know we're going to get caught up in the moment over the weekend. We're going to be, like, living and dying with every shot from both teams, and it's going to be stressful. So before we kind of get into that mode, I do want to just at least, you know, acknowledge the joy that these programs have brought to us over this year and over the last few years. And, you know, regardless of what happens, I think I can speak for all of South Florida and saying that we're proud of them. And we want them to, you know, continue to strive, continue to grow after this year as well. But, you know, this is the pinnacle, right? This is why we're fans. This is why, you know, we support the program, hoping for success, understanding it's not easy, understanding that, you know, these moments are rare. Like, the Canes made their first Elite Eight last year in men's. It's been a long time since they've been in consecutive tournaments for the women. We're hitting uncharted territory here. And, you know, as much as a lot of our fan base is, you know, we have this football mentality of championship or bust. It's been 20 years since we've done anything remotely close to that in football, but you know, these wins along the way do matter. And you know, the men winning the ACC is a big deal, and the women making the tournament consecutive years is a big deal. And so I think, you know, whatever happens this weekend, I for one, and again, I think I speak for a lot of people, we're proud of these programs. They've represented the university well. These kids, some of them, you know, this is their first postseason of many to come. Others, this is the end of their career at Miami. And I think either way, you know, we're proud that they're going to be associated with the school forever. And, you know, I feel like sometimes we get caught up in the moment and we don't stop to say, hey, this is extraordinary what this program has accomplished, and I mean both of them, and in conjunction. And I think, you know, it might not go our way this weekend, and if it doesn't, it'll be painful, but it doesn't diminish, you know, what the accomplishments here. And I'm very excited to see what all of these kids do next, because they're all gonna succeed in some facet of life. And so, yeah, so as you're cheering the kids on this weekend, I know we're all going to be all in. We're going to be on edge. We're going to be fired up. You know, whatever happens, that pride that we have in them should not go away. So to them, I say we're proud of you. Thank you for two outstanding seasons in a row for both programs. Good luck this weekend. You're representing all of us. We know you're going to do great. And just remember, it's always a great day to be a Miami Hurricane. Let's go, Canes. Let's win some games this weekend. And I'll be doing continuing coverage from Albany later in the week as well. I'll be doing some quick hits from there. I'll obviously be on my Twitter. And definitely follow Inside Out with the E is a 3, Matty Ice, who joined me earlier during the game. He'll be dropping Inside as well. And yeah, let's go, Canes. Let's get some wins, and we'll talk again throughout the weekend. And definitely check out the Six Rings Cane Show weeknights at 8:30. And also, for Formula One fans, Hitting the Apex, our Formula One show, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Join myself, Jazz, and Moni Labro on that show. But anyway, I have confidence in these Canes. They're going to do us proud this weekend. Let's go, Canes.
The Six Rig Cane Show. Yeah. The Six Rig Cane Show. Yeah.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.